Chapter 9. Putting Jealousy in Context. In Chapter 7, I asked you to think about your mind as a large room, filled with different objects, filled with memories. Imagine now that your relationship is also a vast room. It is not simply this one thing, jealousy, not simply one feeling. Imagine richness, complexity, many textures, and all kinds of pictures. All these are part of this relationship. The Relationship Room. Your relationship room is a space, a mental space, with a kaleidoscope of memories, feelings, thoughts, experiences, disappointments, hopes, and sensations. Looking at it is like looking around the room you are sitting in. I'm in my study, which is filled with piles of books, lamps, papers, pens, a couple of chairs. I see one book in particular that brings back memories, thoughts, ideas, feelings. I see another book that I know I want to read, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. This is the room surrounding me with objects, images, memories, and possibilities. There is not simply one thing in it, one feeling, one experience, one moment in time. It extends into the past and into the future. It is the same way your relationship room holds the many experiences that you share with each other. Some may lie forgotten under layers of memories until they surface at unexpected moments. Whatever you are experiencing in this relationship room, including your jealousy or your partner's jealousy, it is only one moment, one layer, one possibility. Imagine your relationship with your partner as a room. Perhaps it is in disarray, like my study. To find something that you want, you need to search around. Perhaps it is filled with reminders, images from the past. It is also filled with the range of feelings you have experienced over these past months, maybe over these past years. You have been spending a lot of time with those feelings of jealousy, anger, anxiety, and sadness. They are here, and they have been troubling you. But this room is vast. In addition to the present, there is also the past and the future, as this room goes back and forth in time. You look around this large, complex, seemingly ever-changing room that includes so many things you may have forgotten until this moment. You remember when you first met, your first date, even what you wore, how you felt back at the beginning. You remember the walks together, the laughter, the questions that each of you wanted the other to answer. You remember the first time you made love, what it felt like, and the many times after. In this large room, hidden under whatever hides things in your room, you discover, once again, the feelings that you had when you felt so close, so safe, so happy. You think, whatever happened to that? As if it is gone forever. But here it is, in your room. Here it is in front of you, in your mind, in the feeling of this moment. As you look around the room, your mind travels back into the past, and you remember the fun, the laughter, the playfulness. You remember longing to see each other, missing your partner when apart, wanting to hold her, to be held by him. Yes, you remember how it felt to share something special. Maybe it was dinner at the restaurant you both loved, or walks you took together, things that might seem ordinary to someone else. But it was you being together. It was something that you felt belonged to the two of you, together. As your mind drifts to those memories at this moment in time, right now, you feel the warmth. You feel the love that you feared was being lost. And you feel sadness because you still fear losing it, because it was once the two of you. What was it about your partner that so moved you, that made you feel, yes, this is the one? It is hard to put your finger on it, hard to find the words. And that is what you search for right now. The words. Behind words, there are waves of emotions and images and memories, each seeming different from the one before. Some seeming like they will cancel out the others. But they keep coming, one after the other, coming toward you, through you, memories of the two of you. Your memories, your waves of feelings, your contradictions. Because in this room that both keeps changing and remains the same, your room, you realize that life is filled with contradictions. Where there is hope and love, there can also be sadness and anger. The waves may knock you down, both of you may fall, but you can still struggle to stand, still rise above hard times. If you can imagine holding the hand that reaches out, or reaching out yourself, you can lift yourself above these disappointments. You don't know, you don't want to get your hopes up, because both of you have been knocked down. Spin your relationship lens. Perhaps your jealousy is like a lens that darkens everything you see about your relationship. Through it, you see your partner and yourself. It seems stuck on the one thing that makes you feel trapped, hopeless, unloved, and unloving. You can only see your partner through one lens, one darkened and dim shadow of reality. There is nothing else you think. And the emotions of anger and anxiety and sadness you feel at this moment seem inescapable. There is no way out. I remember looking into a kaleidoscope for the first time when I was a kid. I felt like I had entered an entirely new world. I turned the wheel and the patterns changed. I spun it around backward and the patterns changed again. All I could see was that the patterns were symmetrical and that each time I moved the wheel, another pattern would emerge. I have often thought that relationships are like kaleidoscopes. Each time I turn the wheel, I see a new pattern. I know that, when I am angry, I get stuck on a very dark pattern, one that seems to capture everything, but just leaves me in the dark. In the moment of my anger, it's a pattern I see as I think. This is the way it is. And it bothers me. I feel trapped by this darkness, this disappointing pattern, this dead end. Then I wonder, what will happen if I spin the kaleidoscope? What if I change to a different pattern? What will I see? What will it feel like? Let's try spinning the wheel. Let's see what other feeling patterns can emerge when you look at things differently. When I spin a wheel, I'm going to call up a different emotion. For now, it will be a more neutral relationship than your partner. Give it a try. Compassion lens. Try the emotion of compassion. Imagine from your memory of childhood someone who seemed to have compassion, who seemed to hold you in loving kindness. What do you remember about him or her? For me, I recall my grandmother, who smiled and spoke in a gentle voice, who held me and told me how wonderful I am. Call up memories of this person. Bring them into the present moment. Close your eyes and remember being held, touched, comforted. Imagine that feeling of compassion and kindness surrounding you, enveloping you. Here, in the midst of love, you feel safe. Now imagine feeling love and kindness toward this person. Yes, you feel it right back as you say to yourself, to him or her, I love your gentleness. I love your kindness. I love you. You feel love flowing from your heart to his or her heart. One heart together. One. Playfulness lens. Now I want you to recall another emotion, just for the present moment. Think of a memory when you were playing, laughing. Remember that moment. For me, it is a memory of walking our dog in the woods along a trail. I was watching her running and sniffing. As I remember, she is playing in my mind, in my heart, in the present moment. I am playing with her. I take a tiny football and throw it for her, watching her chase it. Her tail is in the air, her mouth is open and breathing while she runs. I see her grab the football and bring it back. With this memory, I feel a rush of happiness, a rush of playfulness. Lenses with many emotions. As I think of the good times with my grandmother and my dog, I also feel a rush of sadness because they are no longer with us. But I know what that compassion and playfulness felt like with them. And I know I can still feel those things at times. They never left me completely. And I can feel them now, even in memory, even with the sadness. Yes, both feelings came. The compassion and the sadness, the playfulness and the sadness. Sad that they are gone, but happy with the memories of being hugged, of watching my dog running for the ball. That's the nature of feelings and memories in the relationship room. Feelings can seem to contradict each other, both being happy and sad. How can that be? You may ask, how can I feel both extremes with the same memory? Don't contradictions cancel each other out? If so, would that mean I am left with no feeling? Not at all. Both feelings are legitimate, real. They both make sense. Yes, we can have positive and negative feelings about the same memory, just as you can have positive and negative feelings about your partner. You can feel jealous, but still love him or her. You can feel angry, but still want your partner. You are not confused. No, you are simply aware of how rich and wide-ranging your feelings can be. Because it is never so simple as one feeling, is it? You are filled with all the shapes and colors of the kaleidoscope. Things are one way, and then you spin the wheel. Everything changes in the next moment. Viewing your partner with a compassionate lens. What are the emotions, other than painful ones, that you and your partner have shared? Is it only jealousy and anger between you? No, it can't be. Because if it were, you wouldn't care enough to feel jealous. You have shared many other emotions. We were just talking about compassion, loving kindness, the feeling of being held, caressed, comforted, and totally accepted with all of your human imperfections. Recall that feeling and try to remember when you experienced it with your partner. It may feel hard to welcome that feeling because you are in such pain. But try to remember it back for the moment. Bring it back to listen, to feel, to remember, to know that this is something that is still up to you to realize that you can still love each other even if you are hurting. In fact, the hurt may be because of your love. Sometimes love hurts. Sometimes we are sad because things matter to us. So welcome all those feelings. Even when you are hurting, realize that the pain is there because there are also warm, loving feelings. Even if you want to get rid of your partner, to get rid of the hard feelings, you may still love and care for the person who is making you jealous. The pain is only one part of the relationship room. It is surrounded by a whole lot more. This is the relationship room that you have built together. There is no better time than when you have been hurt to remember the love that you can feel. It's not easy to recall love when you are feeling jealous and angry. So set the jealousy into a chair over in a corner. Let it rest for a moment, so you can now remind yourself of the loving feelings that you have experienced, the love that you have received, the love that you give. Viewing your partner with a playfulness lens. As the jealousy sits in the chair, watching, taking it all in, remember once again the playfulness that the two of you have shared, the laughter in times when you were goofy together, just being silly. Yes, you can have these memories by going back in time a little. The jealousy can sit in the chair for now, while you see that those other memories and feelings are also in this relationship room. Seeing what you have solved together. I want you to remember that something else is in this relationship room. All the problems that you have worked on together. Think back about what you have worked toward, problems that you have solved. Maybe there have been differences, arguments, disappointments lately. But you didn't get here caring enough to be jealous if there weren't some problems that you have resolved. What were they? Maybe you helped each other through difficult times before, through disappointments, problems at work, family struggles, friendship breakdowns. You were there for each other during those times. You were doing it together, not just one person. It was the two of you. Maybe you worked together to raise children. Being there at the beginning, at birth, moved so much there were tears in your eyes. Laughing at the kids' antics, watching them grow. Waking in the middle of the night, taking turns together. Maybe you made plans together, activities, vacations, getting things right. Together. Remember all your projects that were about the two of you. Those are still part of this relationship room. As a person, you are more than your jealousy. When you are feeling jealous, you may view the entire relationship as being about jealousy and mistrust. You may even label yourself as a jealous person. This makes you feel overwhelmed by the jealousy and leads you to be unable to see the richness and diversity of things in your relationship and in yourself. When you say that you are a jealous person, it's almost as if your entire personality, your entire past history has disappeared. It's as if you have been replaced with the label. So you begin to cancel yourself out. You are reduced to a diagnosis, a pejorative, a category. You are no longer a distinct person with a unique history and a range of emotions, past relationships, and current relationships. You have placed yourself in a box, closed the lid, and set yourself up on a shelf, perhaps to be discarded. In fact, at any given moment, your relationship and the feelings that you have are far greater than your jealousy. As we have seen, there is a full range of richness to your feelings with each other. Joy, happiness, curiosity, closeness, memories of working together on problems, sharing meaningful experiences, planning for the future, and having fun together. Your relationship is larger and richer than your jealous feelings at any given moment. By placing jealousy in the larger context, momentarily letting go of the jealousy, you can learn that there are a variety of possibilities for other feelings and experiences as you focus on the other sources of meaning in your relationship. You are not a jealous person. You are a person with a wide range of feelings, experiences, and possibilities. We can put your jealousy and your relationship in the context of a life larger than the current moment. We can examine how you can build a meaningful life independent of your current jealousy. That includes friendships, professional relationships, meaningful work, values in life, important goals and priorities. Jealous feelings are elements of a larger life. One that is constantly changing, flowing through time, creating new opportunities. You have a life that is larger than your jealousy, and it can be filled with a wide range of possibilities if you unhinge yourself from focusing on jealousy. Making space for everything. Rather than thinking that you need to get rid of your jealous feelings or the jealous feelings that your partner might have, look at your life as large enough to contain the jealousy and more. In the relationship room, you can make space for all the feelings. Nothing needs to be banished. Making room allows us to accept and acknowledge the feelings of jealousy. But it also allows us to make room for the loving, playful, compassionate feelings that are also part of our relationships. When we make room, we no longer struggle against the jealousy. We no longer order it to go away. And we no longer become angry and upset when the jealousy returns. We can accept that I am feeling a jealous feeling right now without being upset that it has appeared. We can make room without acting on jealous thoughts and feelings because we can say, I can accept these feelings for this moment. We can say, I can live with that feeling, knowing that we can add, and there are a lot of other feelings, memories, and possibilities that I will experience. It's not as if jealousy arrives and empties out the room. It's simply that the jealousy stands up for a moment, cries out in pain, we hear it, and then we continue on. Because making room for how we feel is better than going to war with it. Chapter 10. Solving It Together. Your experience of jealousy is in the context of the relationship you are in now, in the present moment. Jealousy is seldom a problem for one person. It often involves problematic behavior from both of you. If you are the partner experiencing jealousy, you may have recognized a number of personal problematic patterns of thinking, behaving, communicating, and acting that may have made things even worse at times. This may include mind reading, what you think your partner is thinking, withdrawing from her out of spite, interrogating him about his behavior, or labeling her as devious and dishonest. It may or may not be the case that your partner, perhaps unintentionally, has said or done things to trigger those feelings and thoughts, and his or her behavior may be part of the problem. If you are the target of jealousy, you may find yourself labeling your partner as neurotic, defending yourself, and hiding the truth because you don't want to get into more arguments. Both of you take turns trying to be right, trying to win, and you both end up losing. In this chapter, we will see how the two of you can talk about the jealousy, develop strategies to cope with those feelings, and examine possible ground rules going forward. This may involve some work from both of you to determine what you are agreeing to and what you are signing up for. Sometimes relationships may start with undefined understandings, which are likely to actually be misunderstandings. Sometimes relationships evolve, and sometimes they don't. It will be up to the two of you to decide what will work best for you. Overall guidance for working together. My experience with couples is that both partners need to contribute to change. It can't simply be one person doing the work and the other person watching it happen. Jealousy is a couple issue, and you can both be part of the solution. It is also an opportunity to dramatically improve mutual understanding and develop guidelines for building greater trust. Rather than fix the blame, you can both focus on finding the solution. Here are some things to keep in mind. Be realistic about expectations. Keep in mind that we need to be realistic about jealousy. As I have said many times in earlier chapters, jealousy is a universal emotion. It is often a statement of commitment, and it is important to accept that it occurs. You are not going to eliminate jealousy, but you can develop an understanding of what drives your jealousy or your responses to your partner's jealousy. In this chapter, we review some powerful tools that you can use to cope with jealousy as a couple. But understand that having tools to cope with problems doesn't mean you won't have problems. Having them only means that you will know what to do to keep things from escalating. Tools can also offer the opportunity to strengthen your relationship. The problem is not found in having problems. The problem is found in not having ways to cope. It will be hard at times. You will be discouraged. You might think it's impossible. But your relationship is also worth working on. It may be worth doing some things that feel hard to make it better. We all have baggage. People often say, I don't want to deal with someone else's baggage. But all of us have some baggage because each of us is imperfect, unfinished. Some of it is light, like carry-on baggage. And some of it is hefty, requiring heavy lifting. Certain things come with the territory. Problems with trust, intimacy, misunderstandings, unrealistic expectations, and frustrations. There is no long-term couple with no problems. It takes a lot of work to make relationships work, and working on jealousy together can erupt into accusations and chaos. And it can actually bring you closer if you do it the right way. If you expect to have a relationship, you can't escape problems. The key is to be willing to carry each other's baggage. Remember my idea that I'm not okay, you're not okay, but that's okay from chapter 6? Well, that may be what we can expect in long-term meaningful relationships. Whatever baggage you have or your partner has, depending on the situation, either of you might have baggage about work, family of origin, money, health, or so many other things. When your partner's jealousy comes, don't think it makes any sense for you to get on a high moral ground on which you think that your partner's jealousy means you are the better, healthier person. Or, if you are the one experiencing the jealousy, don't assume that you are the only person in the relationship having difficulties. We are all fallen angels, but we can also help each other rise and move along our path together. Get beyond being right. Don't feel invested in being right all the time. Being right is one of the most common problems in relationships. It sets you and your partner up for getting stuck in prosecutor and defendant roles. And one or both play the role of judge. Both of you lose because arguing about being right leads you to attack your partner, defend with self-righteous statements, complain about irrelevant things, and bring up past misunderstandings. Being right is the wrong strategy, even if you are right, because it sabotages the positive goal of building your relationship. Solid relationships are built on mutual reward, understanding, empathy, compassion, and having fun. Being closer, being compassionate, and being vulnerable is how your relationship can flourish. Being right is different from making room for human frailty and failure. Focus on what's most important. Another thing to keep in mind before you and your partner start working on jealousy is that it's important to determine what is worth arguing about and focusing on. Don't approach discussions with the idea that you need to bring up every single disappointment or frustration that you have ever experienced. Psychologists call this kind of thinking injury collection, and it leads you to go on the offense about the most trivial things. Many of us look for signs that we are being treated unfairly, or focus on slights and insults that may be unintentional or non-existent. Ask yourself whether you tend to bring up a long laundry list of complaints. Where does doing that get you? Into more arguments. Try to focus only on the most important things. Eliminate the list of injuries. See the larger room of life that you are both living in. Establish your goal for the discussion. Before you have any discussion, sit down and write out your honest thoughts about what you want to accomplish with it. What is your goal? Consider some examples that have been paired with likely outcomes. What I want. I want to ventilate all my feelings. What this might lead to. Your partner may become defensive, withdraw, or counterattack. I want to prove that I am right. I want to make my partner feel as bad as I do. I want to punish them so they won't do this again. I want to win the argument. I want to hold the moral high ground. I want them to confess and apologize. Each of those might lead to your partner may become defensive, withdraw, or counterattack. I think you get the picture. If your goal is simply to ventilate, prove that you are right, win the argument, or punish them, then you will get a lot of pushback. When we are in pain, it is natural to try to achieve goals like these, but they only make things worse. When we feel threatened, hurt, and treated unfairly, our first response is to retaliate and express our anger. but it won't accomplish the goal of regaining trust, commitment, and compassion. Think about it as a win-win discussion that also comes with lose-lose. No one gets everything that he or she wants, but both of you get something of value. You might get some things that you want, but lose on some other things. It's the same for your partner. Instead of holding out for victory, aim your goal at finding the balance that will move things forward. Think about some of these possible goals. I would like to decrease the tension between us. I would like to build trust. I would like my partner to respect me. I would like to feel loved. I would like to love my partner. I would like us to understand each other. Before you start difficult discussions, be clear about how you want things to move forward. You may think, I have to tell her that she is so horrible for making me feel this way, or I have to get all my feelings out, or I have a right to my feelings. Ventilating, attacking, or winning may end up escalating into arguments and turn into defeat for both of you. The questions that will actually help you are, how do I want this to proceed? And what outcome am I looking for? So let's think about a better strategy. Let's begin with listening. Approaching the discussion. Try to step away from your desire to win the argument, and instead, think about what is more important in your relationship, being right or being happier together. Your discussion about jealousy obviously will involve facts, logic, and fairness, but it will also involve both of you feeling heard, respected, and valued. Each person comes to the relationship with a past history. For example, one of you may have a history of betrayal, or one of you might have a history of not committing fully. You both have your own assumptions and may feel entitled to certain behavior or feel you should be treated a certain way. But your discussion is not a trial. It's not a debate. Remember that there are no winners and losers here. It's not, I'm right, you're wrong, because making the discussion into a contest will guarantee that both of you will be unhappy. The discussion needs to focus on mutual understanding, mutual respect, mutual collaboration. It's about listening and sharing, not about dominating and controlling. It's an attempt to get closer by opening up some vulnerabilities that both of you may have. It's not, I win, he loses. Rather, it's, I listened, she listened. So start with trying to understand your partner's point of view by considering his or her thoughts, feelings, and vulnerabilities. Consider your partner's point of view. Here is a simple exercise for both of you to do. Write down how you think your partner sees the issues in the relationship. What do you think he or she would say about them? I have found that taking this first step, before you start unloading your anger and anxiety, can open your eyes to two possibilities. First, you have no idea how your partner sees things. Second, when you start thinking about it, you realize that he or she is seeing things a lot differently than you are. Show your partner you are listening. Next, step away from winning the argument to temporarily join your partner on his or her side. This can involve rephrasing what you hear him saying so he can realize that you at least hear him. Let your partner know you understand. Then try to find some truth in what she is saying, like, I can understand that you might feel jealous when I am around women who flirt with me. Or, I can understand that my jealousy makes you feel that you are being unfairly attacked. Why is it important to understand and show respect for the other person's point of view? Why is it important to step away from trying to win and step into trying to understand? In some ways, it is quite simple. Jealousy is about threats to attachment, threats to your bond. So when you discuss it, keep in mind that you can strengthen the bond by helping each other feel heard. Jealousy is like crying out and not being heard. So when you strengthen the attachment by improving mutual understanding, and build compassion by validating and respecting, then you will feel more secure and less prone to jealousy. If you want to be heard, you need to listen to the other person. In order to be heard, we first must listen. The key point is to create a safe space for shared feelings. Jealousy reflects the fear that you are not safe. Imagine that you and your partner are in a dark cave where there are different passages, but neither of you knows the way out. It is dark, and the two of you are alone. You are holding a candle that flickers in the darkness. And it is important to keep this candle lit because without it, there is no way out. You hold this candle together to help you find your way. Imagine that this candle is your jealousy, and that you can walk together holding it, looking for more light through one of those passages. It is your candle. It is what you are sharing together, and you must rely on each other to find the way. Think of your discussions as the candle's light. Consider your own beliefs about jealousy. Examine your beliefs and assumptions that inadvertently result in problematic or provocative behavior. These assumptions and rule books, which I covered in Chapter 4, can get in the way of a productive discussion in which you can work on the relationship and simultaneously find room for the jealousy. These include the following. Men are different from women. No one can tell me what to do. I shouldn't have to deal with this. This will never change. You can also examine any anti-jealousy beliefs that serve as judgments of your partner. These include beliefs like, my partner shouldn't be jealous. Only people who are insecure feel jealous, and she should trust me. Ask yourself whether these beliefs are helping in the relationship. Probably not. We're often motivated to view ourselves as well-meaning good people whose behavior should never be questioned. And you may be well-meaning. But the idea that your partner should just trust me sounds like you are entitled to those feelings no matter what. Many of us believe we have an entitlement to getting things our way, while denying problems that both partners contribute to. Consider more balanced and realistic beliefs that can allow you to accept your partner's jealous feelings while helping your partner cope more effectively with the struggle that he or she is facing. It takes two to deal with jealousy. These helpful beliefs include, jealousy is a problem in a lot of relationships. We can both accept that jealousy is a normal emotion for people, and that we can both have compassion for each other, even where there is jealousy. Relationships require compromise and balance. No one gets everything exactly the way he or she wants it. How the two of us communicate about the jealousy will help us cope better with it. Ground rules for the discussion. Think about the discussion as a conference time and limit its length. When talking about jealousy, it is important to find a neutral time when neither of you is particularly upset. For example, you might begin by saying, let's sit down for no more than 20 minutes to begin our discussion about how we can both cope with jealousy in our relationship. Let's try to focus on understanding how each of us feels. Own up to your role in the problem. Don't think of the discussion as an opportunity to prosecute your partner and judge him or her. By sharing some role in the problem, it becomes, this is our problem, not your problem. It allows the two of you to work together. You can say, I know that I contribute to the problem, so I want to be a part of helping us find some solutions. Think about it as mutual problem solving to talk about how you can build more trust and what you can do to help. Present the jealousy as a problem to solve and a problem to share. For example, if you are the one experiencing jealousy, you can start by saying, I know that my jealousy must upset you almost as much as it upsets me. I know that this is part of our problem together. So I would like to understand more about how you experience it and I would like to tell you more about how I experience it. If you are the target of the jealousy, you can say, I know that there may be some things that I say or do that may not be intentional on my part, but that may upset you. So I would like to hear about how it feels to you, and I would like you to know more about how I feel. But I can see that it is hard for both of us. My observation is that often it takes two to have a jealousy problem. Sometimes we may do things that we think are innocent, even well-intentioned, but that elicit jealousy in our partner. For example, you may have coffee with an ex-partner or send greetings on social media to someone you were once involved with. Your intention was to be friendly, but you weren't thinking of how your partner would experience it. So you respond with self-righteous disbelief, with, "What is wrong with you? I wasn't doing anything." Or sometimes your partner can respond to your jealousy with anger and ridicule, which only makes the problem worse. By accepting that this is our problem because this is our relationship, you can work to respect each other more while listening. It takes two to solve our problem. Avoid labeling each other. Any discussion that involves labeling the other person as neurotic, insecure, selfish, or narcissistic is not likely to end well. Avoid these pejoratives and generalizations. Instead, you can say, let's first try to understand how we each are experiencing this. When we label people, they feel humiliated and marginalized, which makes them unlikely to consider any change. And, once labeled, they will want to counterattack or withdraw. Solving the jealousy problem should be about bringing you closer, not blaming one person. No one gets closer by being labeled insecure or neurotic. Give each other time to talk, uninterrupted. You don't want to have either one of you taking the floor and lecturing because the other person will tune out. So agree to give each other 5 minutes to express thoughts and feelings. While your partner has his 5 minutes of talking, your job is to write down the major points, whether you agree with him or not. For example, let's say that your female partner says, I feel really anxious when you are around other women whom I think you find attractive. I think you enjoy their company and I think you enjoy flirting with them. Whether you agree or not, write down what you hear. At the end of the 5 minutes, you can say, among other things, let me see if I got your point of view. It sounds like you feel uncomfortable when I am around other women, and you think that I enjoy flirting with them. Am I understanding your point of view so far? This allows each of you to express your views without being criticized and without arguing. It allows both of you to be heard. Hearing what your partner says does not mean that you agree with what he or she is saying. It only means that you got the information, which strengthens the bond. The candle gets brighter. Direct some compassion toward your partner. You are both taking some time to share painful and difficult feelings. So it would be a good idea to step back, direct some compassion and kindness toward your partner, and appreciate him or her for speaking and listening. Even though you may be anxious or angry, allowing compassion to enter the room can help calm both of you down. After all, you are having this discussion because you want things to be better. You can direct compassion by saying, I appreciate your efforts to talk with me about this, because I know it causes both of us some difficulty. I can see that this is hard for you at times, and I truly want you to feel better because I care about you. I know this whole issue is a hard one, so I want to bring some peace and trust to our relationship. When you express and experience compassion, there is warmth in the room. It is feeling safer. Identify what you want your partner to do. After you have given each other sufficient time to be heard, think through what you want your partner to do differently. For example, Are you going to ask your partner never to talk to other women or men? Would this be realistic? Is there some change in behavior that you are looking for? You may have some difficulty specifying a change that you want to see. But it's important because while you may be angry with your partner, even agreeing to small changes moves things forward and builds more trust. Identify what you agree on. Many discussions seem to focus on the points of disagreement. But as you discuss jealousy, you can widen the discussion to some of the good things in your relationship. Think about the relationship room that we discussed in the previous chapter. Think about all the good things that you have shared. Talking about what you agree on can begin with discussing some of the good things in the relationship. For example, Dave had a lot of jealous feelings about Laura and her male colleagues. So he followed my suggestion and talked about the things that he valued in Laura. I know that you are a terrific mother to our children. You really take an interest in their schoolwork. You put a lot of effort into listening to them, and you talk with them when they have problems. I can see that you really love them and that they love you. And I can also see how hard you work at the office. You are juggling a lot of things as you work at the office and try to be a good mom. Then Dave continued to talk about what they agreed on. I agree with you that I have a lot of jealous feelings at times, and I can make it difficult for you with my questions and my anxiety. I think we agreed that this has become a problem for the two of us, and that we both would like to have fewer arguments. I also know that there are times when I have been unfair with you. Laura was able to talk about what she valued in Dave. I know that you are doing a lot to help with the kids, and that you work hard too. I know that you love them, and I know you love me. And I appreciate that there are times when you take on some more responsibilities when I have business trips, which can be a burden for you. Then Laura identified what they did agree on. I agree with you that the jealousy has become a problem for both of us, and I can see that it eats you alive. You seem so anxious, angry, and a little lost with your jealousy. I know that it gets between us. I agree that this is something we need to work on. And to be honest, I know that there are times that I might do things that make you uncomfortable. Like at the office party when Ted put his arm around me and I didn't move away from it even though I knew it was going to piss you off. So I can see that there may be things that I do to contribute to this. I agree that I am not entirely blameless here. How to communicate your jealousy to your partner. If you are the one feeling jealous, you can do 6 things to help your discussion along. Use this list as a quick guide for conveying your feelings. 1. Acknowledge that you have a jealousy problem. 2. Validate that this has a negative effect on your partner. 3. Direct compassion toward the accused partner. 4. Ask for direction. When I am feeling jealous, how should I communicate that to you so that you won't feel accused? 5. See whether your partner can validate and comfort you. 6. Agree that you can feel jealous without taking action. Be honest with yourself about your behavior. There are times when people intentionally try to make their partners feel jealous. It can serve many purposes. Here are a few. Instigating jealousy can be a way of testing a partner, a method of punishing him or her for something, a competition if he or she is flirting with someone, a way to hedge bets, flirting with others to ensure an alternative should the current relationship end. A boost to self-esteem to prove they are still attractive. A way to prove that no one can tell them what to do. You can ask yourself, what kinds of things could I do that provoke jealousy in my partner? Then ask yourself whether this conflict is worth it to support your behavior. I said it before, and I'll say it again. It often takes two to have a jealousy problem. Think about what you would be willing to change. We almost always want our partner to be the one to change, but things are likely to work a lot better if we also become agents of change. You might think about this before you sit down to have your discussion. You can list a few things that you anticipate your partner would like to change, and think about which of these might be worth some effort on your part. Then, when you have your discussions, you can find out whether you guessed correctly. Did you actually know what your partner wanted you to do? Listen to what your partner has been complaining about, and think of it as a menu of change. For example, if your partner complains that you are constantly interrogating her, consider giving that up. If your partner complains that you accuse him of things that he hasn't done, then consider giving up the role of being the prosecutor. And if you are the target of jealousy, consider what you would be willing to change. One difficulty may be that you are reluctant to be honest with your jealous partner because you fear that you will be criticized. So you may hide interactions with others, mostly to avoid that criticism. Of course, when such secret meetings are discovered, it only inflames the situation. If you want to build trust, you need to work at transparency and honesty, even if it is unpleasant for you. Nick secretly had drinks a number of times with other women, and his wife Carol found out when she saw a text message on his phone. So Carol grew distrustful and wondered what else she didn't know. At first, Nick tried to explain that these meetings were innocent, that they were related to business, which they really weren't in some cases, and that he had a right to some relaxation time because his wife is so work-absorbed that she seldom has time for him. None of these responses worked, because all they did was dig a deeper hole for distrust to grow. Nick and I talked about the pros and cons of these flirtations. He realized that the few minutes of ego boosting that he got from the company of these women did not compare to how much he valued his relationship with Carol. Yes, he might have had some reasons to complain about Carol being work-absorbed. We could work on that as a separate issue. But first he needed to consider working on rebuilding trust. When he finally realized that regaining trust was going to take some effort, he decided to agree with Carol about some guidelines. He said to her, "Okay, I can understand why it would upset you that I met her for drinks, so here's what I would like to propose. If I do have plans to get together with a business associate for drinks or dinner, I will let you know in advance, so you won't feel I am hiding anything." Because Nick did have legitimate reasons for meeting men and women in his business, he needed to consider how honest he was going to be with Carol. He also realized that telling Carol the truth might lead to some arguments, and part of him wanted to avoid any conflict. He was tempted to continue finding ways to get away with these secret meetings. But then he realized that trying to compartmentalize his life with secret meetings, while simultaneously trying to build trust with Carol, was not going to work. I said, "I know a lot of people think that they can juggle a lot of relationships and keep them separate. I can also see that flirtation with some of these women might be exciting for you. But I have also seen in my work that keeping life simple is the less stressful way to go. Ask yourself, how would Carol feel if she knew that this was happening? If the answer is that she would be upset, then you need to question whether it is worth it to you or not." Navigating what freedom is to you. Most of us don't like being told what to do. We think that we should be trusted and respected just the way we are. If we want to see other people on our terms, then we should be able to do that. This idea of total freedom might work if you are not in a relationship. If you are simply dating around, having casual hookups and no commitments, you need to decide what the nature of your relationship is going to be. Are you going to develop a commitment, or are you simply going to do whatever you want to do? You need to be aware of this choice. If you are in a relationship where both of you have made a commitment, then you need to ask yourself, what are you willing to give up in order to keep that commitment? Couples differ in what freedoms they are willing to accept. There are no hard and set rules. Agreeing on the level of freedom involves an open discussion of what you are willing to change and willing to accept. It doesn't mean that a partner has to comply with every request you have. But there may be reasonable compromises that you can reach. I know a couple who have been married for many years. The wife likes to go out dancing, and the husband has no interest. He trusts her and isn't worried that she dances with other men. They may have been doing this for many years without any affairs or major conflicts. Most other couples would have a great deal of difficulty with this. There is no hard and fast rule. Think of freedom this way. If you are free to have shallow, superficial relationships, then what you will experience is a shallow, superficial life. If you are able to make a lasting commitment and build trust, you are free to experience depth, commitment, shared history, and a future that you both rely on. What freedom is for you is related to the goals that you value. If you value the freedom to have casual relationships, then you will achieve the goal of superficial, temporary relationships. If your goal is deep and lasting commitment, then freedom carries responsibilities in your relationship. The freedom to achieve trust and commitment involves the responsibility to build them. Neither just happens. One day Nick came into my office, sat down on the couch, and began to cry intensely. "I don't want to lose my wife and my child. I can't believe I was so stupid." He was feeling devastated because his wife found out about his flirtatious text messages with a woman. He realized his marriage was at stake, and that in order to have the freedom to have a trusting relationship with Carol, to live with his wife and child in peace, he would have to re-examine other freedoms. This included the freedom to see other women for drinks and secret flirtations. It turns out that freedom isn't free. Some people think that they should be able to do whatever they want and that their partner should just accept it. The consequence is a series of broken relationships in which trust has eroded. This leads to the next relationship where trust will erode again. Ron White is a rather raunchy comedian who recalls an experience in his life. The great thing about not cheating is that you never get caught. Simplicity is often the key to a meaningful life. Relationships require decisions. You both need to think about the trade-offs you are willing to accept. Like a lot of things in life, there is no free lunch. If you are the one feeling jealous, then you might make a list of the behaviors that trigger your jealousy and order them. What you absolutely cannot accept, what you could accept with some discomfort, and what you could accept more easily. As a target of jealousy, you may need to examine your beliefs about what commitment means. For each behavior that you are having difficulty accepting or changing, write out the reasons for your belief. Think of your relationship as something you value, something that requires flexibility, and something you are willing to work on. Ways to respond to your jealous partner. It's not just the jealousy that's the problem. It's also how the two of you talk about it. When you feel accused, it's natural to defend, counterattack, proclaim your innocence, or withdraw further. No one likes to be accused, interrogated, or distrusted. After all, you are only human, and you believe that your partner is being unfair with you, even hostile. But his or her feelings are genuine, painful, and lonely. This person is someone you love, who loves you, and fears losing you. Your innocence is not really the issue. It's the difficulty that your partner has coping with these intense feelings about someone they love and fear losing. If your partner is jealous, you can decide how to approach this with understanding, compassion, and respect. How you respond to the jealousy, how both of you respond, will determine whether you are driven further away from each other or, with a lot of work and compassion, you two grow closer, more trusting, and more trustworthy. Before you throw your arms in the air and give up, consider joining with your partner to see whether this can become a turning point to improve listening and being heard, solving